Our gospel lesson this morning is going to come from John chapter 3. We're reading John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. John 3, 14 through 21. And I invite you to stand as you're able, in body or in spirit, for the reading of our gospel lesson. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the dark is something that is scary. Darkness is one of those things, I think, as humans, deep in our reptilian brain somewhere, we just don't like the dark. Now, we may like things about the dark, you know, sure, we may like going out and stargazing. Like, we may like that part of the dark. But it's one thing to sit in the dark and look at stars, it's just another thing to sit in the dark. We may like going outside around a campfire or around a fire pit, but we don't just usually like just going out and sitting in the dark. It's not something that we typically find pleasurable. As children, many of us may have been scared of the dark, so we had a night light in our house. You know, listen, I'm a preacher. I know the dark ain't nothing, but you ever been in a church late at night? You know, like, one of the perks of my job is I get to come and sit in the sanctuary anytime I want. But at night, when I'm here piddling around and those Narthex lights are not on, you know, let's just say I'm glad the iPhone has that little quick flashlight thing you can break out so that you can see where you're going. You know, we have the night light in our house. We're at a certain age where let's just say we're up a lot at night. So we even have our own little night light in our bathroom that just kicks on. You know, there's something deep, though, about us that we just don't like. The dark. The dark is scary. It was scary as children. It can be scary as adults. You know, as kids growing up, one of the things that made my heart so happy recently was I was watching the Channel 12 News, and they had a story on the Channel 12 News about the Chattawa Monster. I'm looking at anyone around Pike County, if any of y'all know what the Chattawa Monster is. Chattawa was a little town south of Macomb where legend had it, a train derailed. Keith knows, he knows. And apparently the monkeys from the circus train escaped into the swamps of Pike County. And I was told by my granny as a young boy, don't go out in the dark at night, or that Chattawa Monster might get you. And so when I tell people that story, people think I'm crazy. So when Channel 12 had a story about it, I text Bauer and said, thank you. Now I've recorded it. I got it on TV. The Chattawa Monster is real. And it's in the woods of Pike County. So don't go out in Pike County at night or the Chattawa Monster will get you. You have a Chattawa Monster from wherever you're from. From wherever you're from, your mama told you, don't go out in the woods or it's going to get you. We all got that in the dark. In fact, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is kind of like that. This isn't part of the sermon. This is for free. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Jesus and the disciples sail across the sea. You remember the story? They sail across the sea. And when they get to the sea, they get out of the boat and they see the cemetery. And inside the cemetery is a naked man full of demons. And what's Jesus do? He drives the demons out of the naked man into the pigs, and the pigs jump into the sea. Okay, so if you're a Jew in biblical days, what are your three worst fears? Pigs, because they're unclean. Cemeteries, because that's where the dead people are. And nakedness, because that takes you back to the garden. Nakedness is that's why in the Old Testament, nakedness is a shameful thing, because it takes you back to the original sin. They ate fruit and they saw they were naked. So it ties you to sin. So pigs, cemeteries, and nakedness. Jewish mamas told their boys, don't sail across the Sea of Galilee, because you sail across the sea, what are you going to find? Cemeteries full of naked people and pigs. And what'd they find when they got there? A cemetery full of a naked guy and a pig. Mama was right. But the reason why I love that story actually is because those were their three worst fears. And what did Jesus do when he encountered those fears? He conquered them. He calmed them. And he showed even their greatest fears cannot measure up to the power of God. So actually, that's a really cool story when you read it. But darkness. We see today in John. John's gospel is full of symbology. It's just, John's gospel is a beautiful gospel. Matthew is my favorite gospel because I love the Jewishness of it. But John's gospel is so cool because over and over and over in John's gospel, you see the concept of light and dark, light and dark. Let's go back to the very beginning of John's gospel, his Christmas account. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Light has entered into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see over and over and over in John's gospel, this battle between light and darkness, light and darkness. We see it today, that those who love light, love God are in the light because their deeds are good. Those who don't know God are in the dark, their deeds are evil. This constant battle between light and dark in John's gospel. In fact, if we were to back up and read chapter 3 from the beginning, it says this, that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Now, why does it say at night? Now, sure, that's the time he came. And maybe he came to Jesus at night because he was afraid of the other Pharisees, afraid of what they would see. So he would sneak around and see Jesus. But John has something deeper about that. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because Nicodemus was still in darkness. He still did not know Jesus was the Savior. He still was in darkness. So he came to Jesus at night because it was still dark. In fact, if you were to hit fast forward and go later into John's gospel, when we see Nicodemus actually standing up for Jesus, it introduces Nicodemus in that point by saying, Nicodemus, who came at first to Jesus by night. And then it told about his faithfulness. So even there, John's gospel is showing us the spiritual growth of Nicodemus. Because when he first came to Jesus, he came at night. He came in darkness. He came not knowing. But now look at him. Now look, he's defending and standing up for Jesus. So this man who once was in darkness at night, now is in the light. Darkness is a powerful thing in John's gospel. And so today, we see in the middle of this great talk about darkness and light, we see perhaps the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. It's the verse that we all know. We've all heard it quoted. We all have learned it. And John 3:16 is one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. And for me, you know, one of the things I believe about Scripture is this. We interpret the parts of the Bible that we don't understand through the verses that we do understand. We all put on certain glasses to read the Bible. We all read the Bible through different lenses. That's why Bible-believing Christians can come to different interpretations, because we can read the Bible through different lenses. For me, John 3:16, that's the lenses I read the whole Bible through. For God so loved the world. That means that God loved the folks I like and the folks I don't like. That means that God loves the folks I agree with and the folks I disagree with. That means God loves the folks who share my theology in my church and those who do not share my theology in my church. That means God loves the folks who vote like me, and that means God loves the folks who don't vote like me. That means God so loves everybody. All the world, full stop, everybody. That is the lenses that I read God's word through, that God so loved the world. And because God so loved everybody, lost folk, saved folk, everybody, he sent his son that whosoever would believe could have eternal life. That means whoever believes, whosoever. I think whosoever has a big, complicated meaning. It means whosoever. Anybody who believes can have eternal life. So there, in the midst of this talk about light and darkness, we see, for me, perhaps one of the most important passages in all the Bible, because I think it helps us understand how to read the rest of the Bible. And then Jesus says this. He says, I did not come to judge the world. I came to save it. He didn't come to condemn it. He came to save it. But he does say that there is judgment. He says, and this is the judgment. That light that's there in the world. And folks choose darkness. He's given us a choice, y'all. He's given us a choice. We can choose light, or we can choose darkness. It's our call. It's our choice. God has given us a choice. Jesus came to give us that choice between belief and light, or unbelief and darkness. It really is our choice, and that's the judgment. It's what we choose to do, y'all. It's what we choose to do. I don't know if you're on Facebook, but if you are, you have what's called memories. Well, Facebook will go back and tell you what happened last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, so on and so forth. Well, hit the rewind button to 2020. Man, 2020 was easy, wasn't it, y'all? Nothing happened in 2020. Just the easiest year we've ever lived. My Facebook, I've been looking at some stuff that happened back in 2020 these last few weeks. Some of you were here at the time, some of you weren't. If you remember in 2020, we had something very special planned for this Sunday, the second Sunday in March, 4 years ago. Had a very big day planned. Because if you remember, our church had just finished a capital campaign. We had spent the weeks and months before this day laying out a vision for how our church could grow, how we could build a new building right over here where we could give space to our intersection worship service, give our youth new space, revitalize our church, bring us all together. We had spent weeks and months getting ready for this. We had our pledge Sunday, and we had a goal of about 1.5, and we had pledged right at about 1.5, very close to it. And we had planned for the second Sunday in March to announce the grand total of how much we had pledged. And if you remember what happened that week, a little thing I like to call COVID, and it shut it down completely. We never had the chance to even announce how much we had raised. We, like the rest of the world, were plunged into a pandemic. Had to shut down church for a while and do online only. And then we tried to figure it out as we went along. And so in the midst of all of that, we purchased a building. Renovated it. It fell into our lap. And we were able to do a lot of what we wanted to do with this new building. So in the middle of a global pandemic, in the middle of the meth apocalypse, I like to call it, in the middle of all that, you chose to buy a building. You chose to renovate it. You chose to pour in hours and dollars into a vision for the growth and health of our contemporary service and the growth and help of our youth. You chose to do that. Y'all are crazy. Okay? It would have been easier to quit. It would have been a lot easier to stop. It would have been a lot easier to give up. In the midst of recovery from a pandemic, in the midst of the Methodist Civil War, to just say, we can't do it. It's just too much. It's a good try. Good game, y'all. We just can't do it. But we chose not to. We chose to keep the faith. We chose to dig down. We chose to dream and have faith even when it was not the smart plan. We chose to cling to light in the midst of darkness. Because you know what darkness does? See, darkness is corrosive, y'all. Darkness whispers. Darkness is insidious. Darkness says, why are you doing that? You can't do that. What's wrong with you? Why are you even trying that? Just give up. Just quit. It's not worth the effort. See, that's what darkness does, y'all. Darkness doesn't shout. Darkness whispers. Darkness whispers in our sleep. Darkness whispers in our fears. Darkness whispers in our subconscious. The dark makes us afraid. The dark makes us doubt. The dark makes us quit. That's what the dark does. And over the last 4 years, it would have been incredibly easy. It may have even been smart for us to doubt and give into the darkness and just give up. You know what my favorite fact about darkness is? You've heard me say this before. Darkness doesn't exist. Darkness has no substance. If you look in physics, light has substance. Light has beams and particles, and light has something to it. Darkness doesn't exist. Darkness is simply the absence of light. That's all darkness is. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is simply the absence of light. So when light enters, darkness must flee. Today, we wrestle against the darkness, but here's the deal, y'all. That's a fight that's already been won. Because when we stand in the light of Christ Jesus, darkness must flee. Darkness cannot stand. Darkness cannot remain where light is. And Jesus Christ is the light of the world. As long as our church stays rooted in the light and in the love of Christ, darkness cannot win. Yes, maybe it was crazy for us to do what we've done, but you know what? There are going to be youth who know Jesus Christ as their Savior because you've clung to light. There are going to be individuals who will come to know Jesus Christ through the worship that happens in that space because of your clinging to the light. There are going to be families transformed, lives saved, good that is done because instead of listening to the whispering of the dark, we have stood in the light of Christ. As long as we stay rooted in the light of our Savior, Jesus Christ, darkness cannot win. we do not really wrestle against the dark because the dark has already been defeated. It cannot stand in the light of Christ. So today, friends, it's very easy for us to buy the lies of the whisper of the dark. Do not listen to those lies. Do not listen to the whisper. But instead, stand strong in the light of the one given for the world, that all may come to know the light and the love of our God. May we stay rooted in the light and in the love of Christ. And may all come to know his light and his love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.